trendiness of being a victim. Now, if you've known me for a while, you know that this is a very common theme in anything I speak about in terms of addressing and counteracting this victimhood mentality and this sort of obsession with people trying to exhibit their pain to the world and identify with their pain. Their pain is like their identity marker, and I don't believe that this is the best mindset and attitude to have if one wants to be successful. I can't imagine any rich person today having a victimhood mentality. Some may profit in ensuring people are kept in a victimhood mentality, but they themselves don't carry that mindset within them. And today, to help me with this topic, is actually a friend of mine from across the pond, MJ. Now, MJ is a full-time professional marketing expert, a web designer, a content strategist, and she accidentally fell into real estate, into the investing game in 2012 through something called house hacking. Now, since then, she learned the art of cash flow and owns several properties, and she actually plans to acquire more this year. She's passionate about personal finance, personal growth and development, and helping others dream big. She founded Rockstar Burst in 2018 to show everyday people how to become everyday rock stars, as well as showcase people who are already rocking their purpose. In her free time, she loves to do a number of things, including traveling, reading her Bible, writing, riding motorcycles, that's quite cool, contemplating conspiracy theories, as myself, listening to and producing podcasts, driving in her Jeep, playing the guitar, drinking craft beer, and spending time with friends and family. Now, she sounds awesome, so you can imagine how much of a great time we had doing this episode together. I have my favorite t-shirt on sale called Mindset Privilege. So it's a reminder that privilege is not found in the color of the skin. It's found in the attitudes and mindsets that we possess and we cultivate throughout our lives. So I want to offer it to you guys. It's on my website, differentvoice.uk. If you go to the watch page, you'll see a link where you can get your own. So spread the word, get your own, and I hope you enjoy this episode.
I'm super excited, Ada. I think this is going to be a really fun and engaging conversation. I am just really looking forward to just to kind of hearing your take on a lot of different issues and just kind of your backstory and what it's like. You know, we're in different countries. I'm in the US, you are in the UK, and just how two people who are so far away can see the world so similarly.
I think that's just such a good point. It's like we nowadays, I feel like society and people in general, we're just trying to find what makes us different, right? We're all being put into groups, we're all being labeled, or shall I say relabeled. And it's like we are forgetting what we have in common. We're forgetting, you know, the things that actually bring us together, you know. And I'm just so excited. That's why I'm so excited to have these conversations, because the more you have conversations with people, the more you will see that actually life is quite similar for everyone. That is the reality. We all have our battles in life. We all have things that we have to face and go through. We all have, let's say, if I can use the word, privileges in some aspects, you know. So why can't we find that as the midpoint, right? To connect with each other and not, you know, what you have that I don't have and so on and so forth, and creating these endless divides and divisions and separations and things like that. I always say, for a society that's meant to be so much more advanced, right? Technology wise and everything else, we actually seem the most backward, you know, in my opinion.
No, I think you bring up some good points, and I love following your Instagram page. I think it's very thought-provoking, and a lot of the things that you say are things that I have said, or at least have thought about saying, and I appreciate your, you know, your courage to kind of speak up and speak out. And from what I can tell, I think we're both really focused on getting rid of this victim narrative and this victim mentality. And I have some ideas as to where it stems from. I think right now it's, you know, it's trendy to be a victim. I think there are a lot of things that have just kind of happened over the last like 20 or 30 years as well, because at some point the society that we live in has become pretty advanced, right? We have, for the most part, our basic needs are met and so on and so forth. But I think because of that, it has also given people this space to feel like they, you know, they're in their feelings and they're offended and they're upset and they're hurt. And the only reason that we can be offended and upset and hurt is because we're no longer in survival mode, right? Like, we're not worrying about hunting and gathering and staying alive for the next 24 to 48 hours. We are in a civilization now that you're able to long range plan and think about the future. But in doing so, your mind can wander, right? And you're able to see different things in the world that, not to say that there aren't injustices, there will always be injustices as long as there are people, because people are inherently flawed. Like, that's just how mankind is designed. But I think it has given people this ability, for better or worse, to maybe see things through a lens that might not be as clear as they think it is.
For me personally, the word I would use is that it's given them time to. Now they have time, right? Like you said, you know, before, our time was very, very specific. You wake up, you kill, or you hunt for your food, you stay alive and you stay warm, you know, and you go to bed. And nowadays, wow, you know, we can press a button and connect to somewhere and our food comes to us. We can stay home, our clothes come to us, and so we can go anywhere in the world. You know, we have so much luxuries, actually, I would use this word, available to us. And when I say us, I mean those in the West, those in the UK, those in the US and other first world and even some second world countries. So what does that do? That gives us time to think, time to, and that's not a bad thing. Like you mentioned, we can think about whatever needs to change or improve. But have you noticed that that's not what's happening? We are not just looking to change and improve things. We are looking to what we can break down, what we can demolish or abolish and things like that and the other. And it's so funny because even when I think about mental health issues, I mean, I was born in Nigeria, I was born in Africa, and there's not as much, let's say, we can say there is, and it's just not talked about, but I feel that there's so much more, let's say, mental health crisis and issues and existential issues and lack of or identity crisis issues more in the West than, let's say, some third world countries, because they don't have time to think about these things. They don't have time to think about, am I a man or a woman and things like that and the other. And this is not throwing shade, but I'm sorry, that is the reality of it. So it's like, you know, where do we go from here if we are not going to use this time productively and, like I mentioned, positively in a sense, but everything is so angry and what's wrong with the world and what else can we find wrong with this world when this world is so beautiful and amongst the injustices, you know, there's so much variety to life that we could be exploring, and we are using this time to hate and be angry and be depressed and things like that, right? So when we talk about mentality, I think that's what separates people who have a victim mentality and people who don't, because what keeps me from having a victim mentality is knowing that life is unfair and life is cruel to every single human being at some point in their life and at whatever degree, but that is the fact, right? So when, let's say, negative situations happen to me, I don't internalize that as life or a white person or a system having some kind of personal vendetta against me. No, I don't, because that's self-limiting in a way, like I always mention. How do I grow and develop if nothing is my fault and my responsibility, right? So yeah, I think, yeah.
I said a lot. I don't even know where I started and where I'm going, but
I think you brought up a couple of good points, though. One, just the idea that now that we do have this time, why are we being so destructive instead of productive? And that's something that I don't necessarily know if I have the answer to, but it is interesting how you would think that as your life becomes easier, that you would become more grateful for the things that you have and for the things that are easy, right? Like I can go to the drive-thru and get food. I don't have to be hunting and fishing and out on the plains gather. You know what I mean? Like I have all of these things literally at my fingertips. So it's interesting that the convenience has almost made us complain more about other things.
I think what Jordan Peterson said, do you listen to him or?
Yeah.
think everyone does now. Yeah, so I don't know what exactly I was listening to, and I'm not even going to try and quote him, but what he said about this is that there's a need for a person to strive for something or to want something or to chase something along those lines. And the more you have, then you less you have to kind of strive for. And then that's what brings those kind of, well, what else is there? And then obviously, if you have no problems or the less problems you have, the more problems you create to have that kind of, what's the word? Life, I guess, or...
Right. No.
Well, yeah, because that's what life is for. When we solve problems, when we achieve things, we feel good about ourselves, you know? So when you have it all, when you can get it all, then that's boring. So what do? You create a problem, you know? And I'm going to go off topic a bit and just say a bit of a personal kind of story kind of thing. I faced a lot in my life. There were many times I felt suicidal, you know. Yeah, I felt suicidal. I felt really low, really depressed. And when I overcame, I found help, I got help. You know, I was free, I was happy, I had mental clarity, emotional freedom and things like that. Well, in a weird way, I wasn't happy. I don't know how to explain it. Then it became, well, what else? There's nothing more to kind of fight against, because my identity was that, was the pain, was the struggle, was the, I want to be free tomorrow. That was my daily kind of, my daily thing. So when that was removed, then it was actually quite scary, because it's like, well, who am I? What do I do? What's my purpose and things like that? I know that's off topic a bit, but I feel that's what happens sometimes when people are so used to, let's say, you know, the struggle and pain and things like that. And then when everything is great, it's like, I don't know what to do with myself. So how can I create that problem and struggle and pain and things like that to feel who I was or feel alive again? So it's that kind of thing. It's weird, but yeah.
I like that. That's interesting too, because I think a lot of times when you come out of something and come out of the struggle and you see other people who are still in the struggle and trying to help them overcome, it's a really interesting experience, right? Because you've been where they are and now you're on the other side. Mm-hmm. And someone to where you are, I mean, you can show them and you can tell them, but it's a journey that they have to make on their own. And that's been probably one of the bigger struggles for me, because I think all the time, I'm like, if you just could get to where I am and see what I see, you would be free from so much of the things that you think are holding you back and really might not be holding you back. And I see a lot of that within Black culture. There's a lot of this idea that, you know, it's almost, and I guess what's so sad to me is just this helpless mentality that, you know, I can never get ahead. I can never be something. It's the white man's fault. It's the patriarchy. It's the system. It's all these things, right? And that's, to me, that's a terrible way to live your life, because how do you you can't escape it. You're stuck there forever because you have been cursed with dark skin and the whole world is out to get you. And, you know, what's the point of your existence then? And I don't see the world that way. And I don't understand if that, in my mind, if that was truly the case, and if people could never get ahead because of the color of their skin, we wouldn't see people who were Black who were actually succeeding, right? We wouldn't see people who are, you know, crushing it in business. We wouldn't have all of these athletes and musicians who are Black who are literally living a life that you or I will probably never know, you know? And it's like, yeah. how can that be the message that we're, or even, I mean, let's look at Patrice from Black Lives Matter, who just bought a bunch of mansions for several $1 million. And she's literally preaching from the rooftops, Black people are oppressed. They can't do this. They're not, these things aren't available to them. And she's literally doing it. Like, she's literally buying the houses and living in the fancy neighborhood and has a huge bank account, right? So that doesn't make sense that you're telling people that they can't do the exact thing that you're doing as a Black person.
It's so frustrating because, you know, if I was, you know, let's say really downtrodden in life and I didn't have anything because I was Black, then, or let's say these celebrities, then I can understand. But the thing is, they're not. They are rich. They are successful, you know, and they are telling Black people just how hard life is because they are Black. Many Black people that are successful, like you mentioned, they live in a way that we would never dream of. But look, they live in a way that many white people could never dream of as well. I spoke to a Black millionaire here in the UK when I was a supervisor of a restaurant, and he just randomly came up to me, stranger. And he saw I was in like a waitress uniform, and he said to me, don't allow these white people to take you for a fool. And then obviously at that time, I was a supervisor of the team there. So he just automatically assumed, you know, that I was the bottom without even asking me, without even knowing what I did. He just assumed that. So I said to him, well, actually, no one's going to take advantage of me because I'm actually responsible here, you know. And he was like, okay, all right. Then I asked him what he did, and apparently he was a major events manager for a boat company or something. So he had celebrities there all the time. He lived in like one of the poshest places in London, you know, literally a millionaire. And then he started to preach to me about, you know, how life as a Black man is just so hard and terrible. And I'm thinking, mate, like, are you actually serious? You know, so what is it then that's the problem for Black people? Is it that they are Black? And I'm going to be very blunt, you know, about this, because it's like, no matter how much they have and how much success they reach, well, life's still hard. So what is the factor then that's making your life hard? Because you can say, well, no one sees me as an equal, but how do you see yourself? I say this all the time. I don't need you to see me as an equal because I know who I am. Yeah. So if I give you that power to decide whether I'm your equal or not, I can never be your equal because the power is with you, right? So yep. It just doesn't make sense to me. White people don't think I'm beautiful. Do you think you're beautiful? You know? I shared this on my story before. I'm so sorry. I repeat myself all the time. My listeners will be so annoying, but it's just to make a point, you know. I remember, you know, when I was in school, I went to like a predominantly white and Asian school. I was pretty much the only Black girl in my year group. And they used to tease me about my lips being full, you know. And at first, I used to get really upset and really, you know, of course, you're kids, you have the self-esteem and things like that. Then after, I was like, you know what? I love my lips because no one has around me had lips, full lips like mine.
Right.
You know, and that didn't stop the teasing. No, but I was extremely happy with myself. And you know what? Because I actually used to get a lot of attention because confidence comes from the inside, right?
And what do you have now? You have everyone trying to pump their lips, trying to inject stuff in their lips and things like that. So, you know, like, how do you see yourself? And I think, just to summarize what I'm saying, is I feel Black people are just so concerned with how the world sees them, with how white people see them. How do you see you? Right. That's my question to the Black world, if I can say, even though there's one world for me. But anyway, how do we see ourselves? And that's what will always make the difference. You know, if you have that kind of, oh, I'm entering this space, I'm the first Black person here, what racist thing's going to happen to me? People sense that. We are not robots. We are human beings. We're right. sentient, if that's the word. We yeah. sense things, you know, we feel energy. So
I think that's so well said. I do feel like there's a lot of, a lot of my Black friends, I see just the way that they're seeking external validation, it feels like, for a lot of things. And I was talking to someone the other day just about, you know, the whole debate between Black Lives Matter, the organization versus the movement. And I'm like, I'm not on board with either of them. And in my opinion, Black Lives Matter, the movement, is a huge projection. It's a huge, it's basically seeking external validation. I don't need you to say Black Lives Matter to me because I know my life matters. I don't need a yard sign. I don't need a hashtag. I don't need a t-shirt or a billboard. I know that I'm an important human being. So to me, that the whole movement is a cry for, you know, external validation. And the focus really needs to be on internal validation and stop looking for other people to validate you. That's a huge problem in and of itself. Until we can get to this idea that I only speak for me and I'm the only one responsible for me. And yes, I may be part of a group of people, but the individual in my mind is intrinsically more valuable than the collective. And it always will be. And until we can get down to that granular level, we're never going to make progress.
Exactly. And we can't have it both ways. So
yeah.
I do sense that in other cultures, or let's say ethnic minority cultures, they do have a collective mindset about them. And what I say that because when I, in my secondary school, and like I said, it was mostly white and Asian, the white people were more individualistic, but the Asian, when I say Asian, I mean from India, Pakistan, things like that, they did have a very collective sense about them. But one thing I do find different sometimes with the Black community is that we say we're one, right? We say, you know, none of us are free if, what's the phrase? None of us are free if one of us, I can't remember, my yeah. mind has gone. Yeah. Something yeah. like that. But then, you know, when we do want to speak to each other, it's like, well, you're not Black, or you're not a descendant of slaves, or you're an immigrant, or then it becomes this further separation within the Black community when it conveniently suits them. So we can't have it both ways. We can't say we want to be a collective, but actually, no, we're not really a collective because you're from Africa, so you don't know, or things like that. I just think that either we are individuals or we are collective. Even the thing of, okay, let's support Black businesses and things like that. It's like, number one, if we're really a unit or collective, we shouldn't need to say, okay, let's support each other. It should be second nature to us, right? Like it is within the Chinese community, the Asian community. I just feel you can't say, well, let's support each other, but then you don't treat each other with the most respect when you're dealing with each other in business. You know, we know that it's a stereotype within our community that the customer service is not the best to each other. You know, I've mentioned this a few times and, you know, mentioned some stories, you know, even people that I've been going to for 3 years, 4 years for a certain service, and that sense of familiarity comes in and then the service is just appalling, you know? Whereas I have one of my friends who has piano lessons from a white teacher, and he's been having piano lessons for 15 years. And that man still treats that boy like it's the first time, you know? So there's that level of professionalism. And let me move to say that the reason why, you know, I don't know if you've heard that many people link professionalism to whiteness sometimes as well. It's like there's just all these things flying around. And that's why I feel that there's so much confusion. And again, what leads to us being stuck, because no one, there's so much double speak. No one knows actually what's what anymore. So how can we progress as a collective? That's why I feel that the individual is, you know, the individualistic way of being, not just in a Black community, but generally, it's the best thing, because when you better yourself as an individual, then you can be better for your community, for the people around you. But when you're not even there yet, or you don't know how to get there yet, and then there's a whole collective of you trying to move somewhere, then that's where you're going to have issues, you know?
I would agree with that. I mean, yeah. And I feel like, it's just this idea that the herd isn't going to save you, right? At the end of the day, we kind of have to save ourselves. And to be waiting for some program or some group or some social service or some organization to swoop in and save the day, you're going to be waiting a long time, right? And that's just, I feel like that's a lot of the issues that I have, especially just coming from politicians as well as some of these, you know, social justice activists. And they think that reparations will solve all of our problems, or they think that this government program is going to make everything all right. And I see very little evidence of that actually being the case. And I am more concerned that it will, one, lead to people being more entrapped in the system that they're so adamantly trying to bash and tear down. And secondly, really not move anyone further ahead to the destination that, you know, we're
at. Yeah, and it's, sorry to cut you, it's like, think of reparations for me, and that's why I had an argument, I think, or let's say debate with someone, is the issue really Black people as a whole are not able to achieve, or is it a group of Black people? Because right. If it's Black people as a whole, then that's a lie and that's false, because like you have said, like I've said, like we don't need to say it's everywhere. Black people are doing exceedingly well. Me and you are, I mean, I know you're in property and things like this, you're doing very well as well, you know? So if we're going to have the conversation, let's have a real conversation, right? Okay? Because it's not the Black experience. And that's why many people get really upset at me, because they say, well, just because you haven't experienced racism, don't be foolish. I have experienced racism. We may have experienced the same events or the same kind of events, but my reaction or how I've gone moving forward from that event might be different from you, right? And people don't seem to understand that. And I don't argue with them. It's very disrespectful to me and my journey, because they don't know also what I've had to overcome to have the mindset that I have today, to have had the positions that I've had throughout my life. It's very disrespectful to my journey. But again, because I don't need that external validation, I don't care. I move forward. I don't need to prove to anyone, you know, right. I don't need to prove to anyone how much racism I've experienced and how badly the white system has beaten me up. I don't need to prove that to you, right? But there is this need to wear that as a badge of honor almost. Oh, the white system beats Black people when we are fatigued. And it's almost like pride in saying it, to the point that if you haven't had that, or if you don't express that, then what are you called? A sellout. You aren't right. One of the real ones, right?
Not,
you
are not struggle.
Exactly. Let's just forget the Black community. Just generally, whoever you are, whatever kind of life you have, that power to make our life what it needs to be or comfortable enough for us is within us. I know some people are born, let's say, in the most horrible, you know, situations. You know, when I talk about poverty, like real poverty, no water, no food. I can't stay here and be ignorant and say, well, the power's in you, because I know it's true. But I will say it's not impossible. I will never say it's impossible that they are born poor, they die poor. You know, and by the way, riches is not the only way to be happy in life anyway, you know, so that's just the truth. And we can see that because many millionaires commit suicide every year. But we do have in us to make our life how we want it, rather than it's in us to make our life successful or rich or happy, because these are subjective things. Happiness to me can mean something different to you.
Right.
So that's just it. What do you want your life to be? Where do you want to go? Dream it, think it, go for it. You know, if you believe in God, pray on it. If you believe in something else, whatever, just do what you can do and don't stay stuck and don't give up.
Yeah. And that's interesting how you talk about, you know, how people view things and like when something happens to them, whether they're offended by it or how they take it. And I have been in real estate since like 2012. Yeah. 2012 is when I bought my first rental property, and it's not what I do full time. It's just right now, it's just my side hustle, but I own several rental properties and I'm in a bunch of different real estate groups on Facebook, and just, you know, it's fun to kind of see what people are up to and hear successes and wins and fails and just tips and tricks in the industry. Mm-hmm. And this Black woman, I don't know where she was from, somewhere out east, I think. And she had posted, and she was asking something about basically some tax questions on purchasing a property. And a bunch of people kind of like came in joking, like, ha ha ha, you must work for Uncle Sam, or you must work for the Fed, you know what I mean, just kind of like giving her a hard time. And she was like really upset and like offended by it. And she had ended up posting a couple things just like in response. And she was like, you know, I'm not, I don't work for the Fed. Like, I'm not here to screw anybody over. And then she had said that she had actually gotten in some legal trouble and some tax issues in the past. And that's why she was sensitive to it. But I'm like, it was just really interesting because I feel like there's a lot of people who just feel like they're instantly being attacked. And in my mind, I'm like, lady, like, we're just giving you shit, basically, right? Like, it's nothing that, it's not you as a person. We're just kind of like, none of us wants to pay more taxes, right? Like, we're all trying to get out of the grasp of Uncle Sam, especially in real estate. That's like, and I think, and she was a new investor and she was just trying to like learn some different tips and tricks and things like that. So I guess she probably hadn't been around people talking like that before. So yeah, that might've been new to her as well, but
yeah,
kind of funny. And I kind of responded, I'm like, you know, keep asking questions, like, just know that, you know, we're just having a good time. It's nothing against you personally. And like, good luck on your, you know, on your property purchase. So, but yeah, mm-hmm. it's interesting how scared and how offended and how upset people can get. And I, at least in America, there is, what I've seen is there's just a huge cultural gap between white and Black America, and a lot of things. And the definition of racism keeps changing and people keep making up their own definitions of what's racist and what's not.
Mm-hmm.
You guys, there's a difference between being racist and just being mean. You know, like, you can just be a mean person, but it doesn't mean you're a racist. And there's just this huge disconnect. And there's a lot of cultural barriers. Another instance that I can think of, this is, I was out on a rooftop with some friends, and it was one of my friend's friend, and she's, you know, she's a Black girl. She sells like CBD oil and stuff like that. And she's got kind of a cool business, but, you know, she's very like loud and pro-Black and all the things. And she was talking about how she was out on the patio with her friends one time, and all these white folks were looking at her and she didn't feel welcome. And I was just like, yeah, lady, because you're super freaking loud. Like, it doesn't matter what color you are. If you're loud and obnoxious, anybody is going to look at you because you're loud and obnoxious. It's not because you're Black. I didn't say that to her because she wasn't my friend. She was my friend's friend, but she was going on and on about this. And I'm like, yeah, because you're really obnoxious. It's not because you're Black. You're just an annoying human.
It's so funny because I think also, I mean, in her case, I'm sure that was the case. But I think also, and I learned this from a personal experience as well, sometimes we think people are looking at us or thinking about us, and they're not. They're really not. I'm just being honest with right. you.
Yeah, they don't care. You're not that important.
You're not that important, sweetie. And it's like the thing that's screaming loud inside of them is actually their own insecurities. And I'm not saying, okay, before people start to send me new hate mail, I'm not saying that many Black people make it up. I'm not saying any of these things. I'm just saying many of the things that we cry as racism is not necessarily over, is not necessarily the case all the time. Does that make sense? So, you know, if someone looks at you and gives you a dirty look, that's not because you're a Black woman. That might be because that person's an idiot or had a bad day or this and that and the other, right? And I know we're talking about interpersonal, let's say, racism in quotes, but yeah. Even if you don't get a job, I say this all the time, even if you don't get a position, don't automatically assume that that person did not pick you because you are a Black person. Because right. How do you know that another Black person didn't get the job? Do you know? Right? So people say all these things and it's like, what are you even saying if you don't fully 100% know what you're talking about? So
that's such an interesting point too. It's how, it's almost like how we're internalizing things, right? It has so much, I would say most things have to do with us and so little to do with other people. At the end of the day, it really is like, how am I dealing with this? Not the world, me. And how are my own issues, insecurities, whatever, just, you know, causing me to see things in a lens that might be skewed?
Yeah, pretty much, you know. And like I said, it doesn't mean that these things don't happen, but I feel sometimes you just have to look, take a bit more control of, you know, more ownership. Not ownership if someone is racist and is, you know, discriminatory, but right. Make sure that is the case. And that's not just, well, this happened to my friend, so this must be happening to me as well because I'm Black. And everything that negative that happens to you is because you're Black. And that's just completely wrong. And that's giving too much power, you know, to your skin color, whereas this power needs to be shifted to your attitude, to your mindset, to your character, you know. And it's more fun. I don't know who needs to hear this, but it's more fun. It's just so beautiful having a strong attitude, character, and a mindset. Your skin color has no, you know, it shouldn't anyway. I know there's so many narratives about the white skin, the Black skin, but these things are so, you know, it shouldn't be the story of your life, or it shouldn't be the reason you have, you know, you have a certain path in your life. I am the author of my own life and not my skin color. So what do you think will solve this problem then? What is the problem?
I have always said, you know, the end game of, you know, having a more just connected humanity is to build better people, right? There's a lot of people who are like, well, we need to have better programs and we need to have better education and we need to have better this. And I'm like, I think at the end of the day, we need to build better individuals. And we don't focus on that. We don't have, I feel like there's not really this code of ethics that we follow anymore. I'm not really sure what virtues are being taught. I see a lot of virtue signaling and not a lot of virtues. And I think kind of coming back to those, I really think being able to have open discourse and have, you know, difficult conversations. I also think we're lacking big time in just critical thinking skills. A lot of people don't think, they feel, and they think that feeling is thinking, but it's not. So we have a lot of people who are acting in emotions and not necessarily their actual mind. They're responding. So I think if we can kind of get down to the base level of how, like, what are the foundations that can make people stronger? That's the only way that humanity is going to ever get better, in my opinion.
Exactly. I completely agree with you. For me, it's especially the speaking to other people part. When I was growing up as a Black girl, in England, I do notice that was the difference between me and, let's say, other Black girls. You know, other Black girls is like, well, I just chill with my people. Whereas with me, you know, like I said, I was born in Nigeria. I moved here. I'm just, until today, I've just always been fascinated with other people and other cultures. And I always seek to engage in conversations, not to win or not to always have a debate, but to learn. And not to learn, I don't really like this word anymore, but just to see life from your eyes, from your perspective, right? I've been exposed to so many different kinds of cultures, and I've taken from those cultures. And that's why I've understood that life is not this big divide of white people against everyone else,
right?
You know, oppressor and oppressee,
right?
You know,
right.
You know, and I've had a very bad experiences with people from my own race and white people and Asian people. And I, like I said, I've seen atrocities. I've heard of atrocities in my country.
Right.
Things that have not been done in England.
Right.
At least in public anyway. When I say I've heard, I mean things done in public in my country. Barbaric things. So brutality is not a white thing. It's a human thing. Right. We are evil. I'm sorry. I am capable of evil if given the right opportunity. You're capable of evil, given the right circumstance. It can bring anything, can bring the most sinister and evil, dark things out of us, you know? So saying that Black people are, you know, aren't capable of that and white people are, it's insulting to my intelligence a bit, you know? So people need to see life from different aspects a bit more and just,
I would agree. I know. It's like we're all, at the end of the day, like we're all human, and anyone is capable of doing great things or terrible things. That has very little to do with what skin color you are, right? It's very much the fact that it's a human condition. So
exactly.
That should be the focal point.
Yes.
My dad said to me growing up is like, you know, when you're pointing your hand at someone, like, you know, you have this one finger pointing at the other person, but make sure you're looking at those three that are pointing right back at you.
Well, there we go. But it was a pleasure. It was such a pleasure.
Yeah. No, I'm really excited. Thank you again for taking the time to chat.
My pleasure. Thank you. We'll speak again soon, definitely.
All right. Sounds good.
If you like this podcast, please share it. Please share it with your friends. Connect with me, as I said, and I will talk to you all soon. Take care.